John chapter 5. If you didn't bring a Bible, it's all right. There's one in the pew rack there in front of you. Also, if you want to use your electronic device, you want to use your phone or your tablet, go right ahead. I'm going to be jumping around to a lot of scriptures today, and sometimes it's easier to keep up with this Yankee who talks really fast. We are in our series called Why I Know. I believe that the Bible commands us to know what it is we believe and why we believe it. The series is based on this on the verse 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Let me read the theme verse for our series. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 or 1 I don't know why I'm getting that wrong. 1 Peter 3 and 15. I'll get there. The series is 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." That means put him first. Number two, "and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope." Now, the devil wants you to think you ought to keep your mouth shut because you don't have all the answers. Guess what? None of us have all the answers. That's not what God is commanding us. 1 Peter chapter 3, this is in the way back in the back end of the Bible, just before you get to the book of the Revelation. It's just after Hebrews and James, you'll find 1 Peter. Now, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart." That means put God first. The word sanctify means set apart as holy, as special. So, "sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you," what? "A reason of the hope." See, we have hope in Christ. I taught on this several weeks ago. Hope means not just hope that we're going on to heaven when we die, which we have in Christ, but also hope in this life that God's going to do us good and not evil. That's the hope we have in Jesus Christ. The Bible is full of promises like that. "Give a reason of the hope that lieth within you." It's important that you and I know what it is we believe. And so many people that you work with, that you go to school with, that maybe even in your family, that have heard something on the internet that sounded spiritual, sounded logical, but it was not scriptural. They've never seen from the Bible itself what God actually thinks about any given topic. And that's why I always say, don't take my word for it. See what the Bible actually says about it. Well, the only way you're going to do that is in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, where it says, "Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God." How? "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed." How? "By rightly dividing the word of truth." Knowing what the Bible says, and that way you're confident. Have you ever been in a meeting where somebody called upon you to speak, but you're not sure of the data, so you're not really comfortable speaking up? The devil is counting on you to be uncomfortable speaking about it, because that's why we need to know what it is we know and why we know it. Now, the New Testament, a lot of people, if you work with Jewish people, if you're Jewish, if you have them in your family, they're God's chosen people. But the truth is, the majority of them don't know that this is a book of Jewish people writing to Jewish people. Okay? They think the New Testament was written by Romans. That is not true. There's only two books in the New Testament that were written by somebody who wasn't Jewish, and that was Luke. He was a Greek. He was a doctor who traveled with the Apostle Paul, and he wrote to his friend Theophilus the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. But all of them are Jewish writers, and they gave us the Bible. They're the ones that wrote it. God inspired them. Now, 2 weeks ago, I preached on how do I know? How do I know that God exists? How do I know? Well, in a nutshell, because God spoke to us. God initiated contact with us. We would know him had he not spoken to us. Now, there are three things God cannot do. Did you know that? He's omnipotent, means all powerful. There's three things that God can't do. And one of them is he can't lie. The Bible says that. Number two, it says that God cannot change. Malachi 3:6, "I'm the Lord thy God, I change not." Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And number three, he doesn't let people into heaven who haven't had their sins paid for. You'll find this throughout the Bible as you read it. So God is holy. God revealed himself to mankind. Maybe you've had a comparative religions class in college or as an elective in high school, and they try to tell you that all religions are basically the same and all roads lead to heaven, and that's not what the Bible actually says. See, either God is or God isn't. You're going to have to decide. Either God is or God isn't. Now, either God did speak to us or he didn't. And either he is going to fulfill his promises or he isn't. Now you got to decide. Because by faith is the only way we please him. So we talked about this up on the web. You can look at it another time. But we believe God exists, and there are several reasons why. Number two, last week we talked about how we know the Bible is the Word of God. As I said, he initiated contact. He spoke to these men and women in Bible times. And he gave them promises. And he said, now you write these things down. You copy them and you keep them and you pass them on to other people. The Bible goes on to say in Isaiah 8 and verse 20 that everything is supposed to be compared to it. That's Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Everything is to be measured by this word. Now, God said to do that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, it's all done according to the scriptures. But in our Bible today, I want to talk about not just why I know God exists or why I know the Bible is the word of God. I want to talk to you about why I know Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise, his plan and purpose to redeem mankind. Take your Bible, go to the Gospel of John. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. Find the Gospel according to John. Now, if you're in number 1, 2, 3, John, that's in the back of the book. Those are letters he wrote to friends. Go up toward the Gospels, toward the front of the New Testament, John chapter number 5. Jesus gives 5 proofs that he is the Messiah. Now, what's crazy about the book of John is the majority of the book of John is not found in the other 3 gospels. And the majority of it centers around the last 7 days of his life as he was presenting himself to the Pharisees to be scrutinized. See, when they took that Passover lamb, they would scrutinize, they would set it aside for 14 days. And they made sure it was pure. They made sure it wasn't sick. It had all its teeth. It both eyes worked. It didn't have a wound or wasn't lame. And then they would look at it and scrutinize it. In like manner, for 7 days, Jesus presented himself to the Pharisees and said, scrutinize me. I am the fulfillment of what that baby lamb pictured. Take your Bible, go to the Gospel of John, look in verse number 30. Gospel of John, chapter 5, did I say that? 5 and verse 30. This is Jesus talking. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own, but the will of the Father which has sent me. I came here to do the Father's will. Christianity is not a new religion, in my opinion. It is a fulfillment of what God promised the Jews, and they denied at Calvary. That's just my opinion. Verse 31, Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. All right, I get it. If I'm the only one saying I am God incarnate, that I am the great I am, that I am the Messiah that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I am the promised one, I can understand why you don't believe me. Now, some people will say, Jesus never said he was God. Well, I'm glad you're in John 5. Back up a couple of verses to verse number 17. But Jesus answered him. Answered who? Answered the Pharisees that were scrutinizing him. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Oh, really? Jesus, and this isn't the only verse. There's multitude times where Jesus said, he said, listen, Abraham, your father Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Well, when was that? Genesis 22, when he made the substitute for the lamb for Isaac. That's Genesis 22. And he rejoiced. And they're like, you're not even 3 years old. Have you seen Abraham? And he said, before Abraham was, I am. I existed. I am the self-existent God. And they picked up stones to try to kill him. Yeah, he said, I'm the one, guys. Now, let's go on. In verse number, if you're here, in verse 32, the second proof that he is who he said he is. There is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, that's John the Baptist. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. See, the he was amassing large crowds. He was calling them to repent. And the Pharisees came and said, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? And he said, I am not the Messiah. This is in John chapter number 1. You're there in John 5. Go back to John 1 real quick and start reading in verse number 6. John 1 and verse 6. Look what the Bible reads. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, and all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Do you understand that John the Baptist was the forerunner? He was mentioned like this in Malachi 3 and in Malachi 4. They came and said, are you the one? He said, no. Or, well, then are you the prophet Moses spoke about? He said, no. Well, then are you Elijah come back from the dead? He said, no, I am the voice in the wilderness crying, repent, make you, prepare you the way of the Lord. I am the one who's calling from Malachi. Look in John chapter 1 and verse 15. The Bible says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he. He's pointing to Jesus as he's walking. He said, this is he, look at it, of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he is before me. Or he was before me, excuse me. Look at John 1 and verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist said, this is him. This is the Messiah. This is the one that was pictured by the animals that were the coats of skin that were given to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. This is the lamb for sacrifice in Genesis 4 that Abel brought. This is the picture of the ark of Noah, that all those that come inside were saved from God's judgment. This is a picture of the scarlet thread hung from Rahab's window, that all those in the house would be spared. This is a picture of the Passover lamb in Egypt with the 10th and final plague, where they took that baby lamb and they cut its throat and caught its blood and made the sign of the cross over the door, that all those that were covered by the blood were passed over by the death angel. This is what all of this pictured, was Jesus. And John the Baptist said, that's the one. That's the Lamb of God. See, the whole time Israel's thinking, well, it's the baby lamb we sacrifice at Passover, the baby lamb we sacrifice at the Day of Atonement. No, no, no. John's like, no, you understand. That's the real lamb. These were just pictures. Now, we have Jesus saying he's the Messiah. Then Jesus says, okay, you don't believe me? What about John? You sent to John, and John told you it was me. Number 3, go back to John chapter 5. There is a third proof that Jesus is the Messiah. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 36. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. The miracles he did. The miracles he did were prophesied hundreds of years in advance. Now, you understand that the last piece of the Old Testament was Malachi. For 400 years, God didn't speak to anybody by vision, by dream, or open revelation until God had his angel approach Zechariah in the temple and announce the birth of John the Baptist. For 400 years. So at least 400 years went where all of these prophecies had yet to be fulfilled. And then Jesus comes on the scene. And it was prophesied he would do miracles. So he's saying, no, 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 I have a greater witness. Now, remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night in John 3? He said, Rabbi, that he said, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except they be from God. See, God had Jesus work miracles to confirm the message that he was who he said he was. On into the first century when the apostles were preaching, the New Testament hadn't been written. So how would they confirm who they said they were? God the Father worked miracles. The apostle Paul was one of these guys where they would take a handkerchief and he would put his hands on it and pray, and then you would take it home to your cousin and put it on his head and he'd be healed. Peter healed people. Not really Peter, but God through him. So it would confirm the message was true. So the miracles were prophesied that he would do these things. In Luke 7, he mentioned that it was. In Isaiah 53 and verse 4, it said he would have a healing ministry. In Isaiah 42 and verse 7, it said he would open the eyes of the blind. Remember Bartimaeus and the man by the roadside begging that was born blind? Remember Isaiah 61 where it said he would preach and no man could stop him from preaching? Now, the Father also from heaven declared him. Look back at John 5. So you got Jesus saying, I'm the Messiah. You got John the Baptist saying he's the Messiah. You have the miracles. But look at verse 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. You weren't listening, but the Father spoke from heaven. See, back in Psalm 2 and verse 7, God the Father declared that the Messiah would be God himself. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Remember back at Christmas time, we always read Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, where it says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. That's Jewish Old Testament, guys. So many people take comparative religion class and they're taught the lie that all roads lead to heaven. And unfortunately, the devil creates counterfeits. That's not what the Bible actually teaches. See, the Father from heaven actually spoke audibly and identified Jesus as the Son. Take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 3. Now, Matthew's the first book of the New Testament. So you're in John. Go back through Luke and Mark and get to Matthew 3. Jesus comes to be baptized of John the Baptist. And John's like, whoa, I need what you got. And Jesus is like, no, let's fulfill all righteousness. Let's do this. So John baptizes him. And look at Matthew 3 and verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Could you imagine what the Incas and the Mayans thought? A voice from heaven rang throughout the earth. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. God the Father did it again on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17 and Mark 9. Remember when he went up with Peter, James, and John, and he was transfigured, and he was glorified, and he's standing there in his glory, and Moses and Elijah is talking to him, and Peter doesn't know what to say. Well, first Peter fell asleep during the prayer meeting, and then while he was asleep, Jesus was glorified. Hey, don't judge. I fall asleep praying sometimes too. Do you fall asleep praying sometimes? I asked my preacher that. I said, do you ever fall asleep? Maybe in the first 30 minutes, but after that, I'm good. I'm like, holy cow. Anyway, so he wakes up, sees this scene, and goes, oh my, let's build three tabernacles and we'll worship you, we'll worship Elijah, we'll worship Moses. And a cloud overtakes them. And out of the cloud, the Father speaks from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. On the day before the Passover, Jesus is praying and says, Father, glorify thy name. Then a voice from heaven comes and says, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And those standing around Jesus are like, who was that? And he said, that was my Father. You know, when you're thinking about what you learned in school about all the different religions, Jesus said he was the only way. Take your Bible, go to John 14. See, we get such a bad rap. They're all like, well, you're a bunch of bigots and you're a bunch of elitists and you're a bunch of hateful people who are intolerant. Well, look at John 14 and verse 6. Now, Jesus is in the upper room. He has done the Passover with these guys. And Thomas says to him in verse 5, Lord, we don't know where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Look at verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way. There is no other way. I'm the way. That word the is in the Greek. It wasn't added by the translators. There's no other way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. Look at that. And the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I didn't write that. I didn't write that. That's why it says in the book of Acts, there is salvation and no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. There's only Jesus. So it's important you know what it is you actually believe about this Jesus. Which Jesus are you putting your faith and trust in? Which version of Jesus? You realize he's not the only one that ever rose up and said, follow me, I'm the Messiah. Even as late as a few decades ago, David Koresh in Waco, Texas said, I am Jesus Christ. He said that on the phone, on the radio program. I'm Jesus Christ. So at the time of Christ's birth, other people rose up and said, follow me, I'm the Messiah. And they all died off. So which Jesus is it? Is it the Muslim version? Jesus is in the Quran. Is he just a great prophet and that's it? Not God? How about the Mormon version? I'm not here to be hateful. I'm just telling you truth. That he was a created being that with the help of another God became God, and you can too? Is he the Jewish version where he's the bastard son of a Roman soldier that raped Mary and Joseph took the fall and became the stepdad? Is that really the Jesus you believe in? Is that the Jesus of the Bible? What about the Jehovah's Witness? They believe that he was Michael the Archangel, a created being, and he was born of Mary, and he's the son of God, just like every other single angel in the universe is a son of God, but he's not God himself. Is that the Jesus you've put your faith and trust in? How about the Buddhist version? I looked it up on a Buddhist website yesterday. It said that they believe Jesus is Buddha himself, having attained a state available to every other Buddhist. Being Buddha, he was fully awakened and fully enlightened and was able to devote his life to teach others truths and end their suffering. Is that the Jesus you've put your faith and trust in? Is that what the Bible actually teaches? No, the Bible actually teaches that Jesus is God. He's not, first there was God the Father, then there was God the Son, and now there's God the Holy Spirit. No, that's a different religion. No, all three existing at once, all the same time, all of the same essence. Do you realize that there were 351 prophecies in the Jewish Bible that were fulfilled in Jesus Christ? 351, that he'd be born of a woman, Genesis 3. He'd be born of Abraham, Genesis 12. And both of the genealogies in Matthew and Luke take him all the way back to Abraham, and Luke's goes all the way back to Adam, name upon name upon name upon name upon name. That he be from Isaac and not Ishmael, Genesis 17. That he be from Jacob and not Esau, Exodus chapter 2. That he be of the tribe of Judah, just not any Jew, but he be of the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49. That he be a descendant of King David, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. That he be God incarnate. He be born in Bethlehem. Remember all these verses we read about at Christmas time? He'd be born in Bethlehem. He'd be born at a specific time. That's how the wise men were able to pay attention when the star came. That he was born of a virgin, Isaiah 7 and verse 14. That he would be a prophet like Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18. That he'd be rejected by his own people, Isaiah 53. He'd ride into Jerusalem on a baby donkey, Zechariah chapter 9. 351. Those aren't New Testament. Those are in the Jewish Bible down at the synagogue. Are we surprised that thousands became believers on the day of Pentecost? No, if they were being honest about their Bible, it was clear who Jesus was. Jesus, now look, Jesus says, look in John 5 again. John 5, I'm not making this up. Look what it says here, John 5. And verse 39, search the scriptures, he says. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they, the scriptures, they are they which testify of me. Do you know, not only were there direct references about Jesus' life, his ministry, his death and resurrection, there were also pictures, illustrations that he would perform. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah, we're back in the Jewish Old Testament, Isaiah 53. Listen, the Old Testament was not written by born-again believers. They were not written by Christians. They were written by Jewish people who were looking for the Messiah to come. Isaiah 53 and verse number 10. He would be a suffering lamb. Now, it's true. The prophecies in the Old Testament that have yet to come true are the ones where he's King of kings and Lord of lords and conquers the world. That's true. But the problem that our Jewish friends have is they have a hard time squaring this. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Their Messiah won't be bruised. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He would be the sacrificial lamb for the sin of mankind. He would also be the one that satisfies God's wrath. Look at verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God the Father will see the sacrifice and the offering Jesus makes of himself and will be satisfied. I told you, one of the three things God can't do is let people into heaven whose sins are not paid for. So God sent his son to make the offering. And now God is satisfied. God himself has chosen all humanity to be saved, and he's left the choice up to us to respond. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, but by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. See, Jesus was sinless. It's our iniquities. You know, people say to me all the time, well, I know that the Messiah is coming, but do you understand that Abraham said in Genesis 22 that he would come as a sacrifice? Isaac says to his father, Dad, here's the wood, here's the fire, here's the knife, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And he says in Genesis 22:8, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. You can't come to him, so he came to us. Genesis 22:14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen again. On that same dusty hilltop where he laid Isaac on an altar of stone and wood, later became the same hilltop that was Jerusalem. And outside Jerusalem on that same hill, a cross was put in the ground. Between two thieves hung our Savior, and he substituted himself for us. New Testament people didn't write that. The Old Testament Jews did. This isn't something that we just came up with. The Jewish scriptures have been around for thousands and thousands of years. The fact that he would resurrect from the dead was prophesied in the Old Testament. And the resurrection from the dead proves he is the Messiah. Take your Bible to Romans. It's the sixth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, chapter 1. Romans 1:4. Well, actually, look at verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. You know, if you take your phone out and do a little Google search, you'll find the tomb of Muhammad. It's still there with him in it. You can find the tomb of Abraham and the patriarchs. People still visit those tombs because their bodies are still there. You can find the Buddha. They actually cremated and sent cupfuls of ashes to foreign kings for them to worship, but we know what happened to his body. Secular history confirms they've never produced a body for Jesus Christ. That tomb's still empty. Because he did rise. So take your Bible, go to the back of the book, and let's turn. Well, you're in Romans. Hold on a minute. Look at verse 16 of chapter 1. Romans 1:16. Paul is speaking, and he says, for I am not ashamed. I'll tell anybody who wants to know. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed. I know what it is I believe. I know what it is my faith and trust is in. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, that is the most powerful word in this sentence, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the gospel that saves. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul defines the gospel as the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Do you understand? When somebody asks you, how is it you are you going to heaven when you die? Yeah. Okay, what are you basing that on? Well, I've been sweet and kind and nice to old people. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By him not giving me what I deserve. Well, I'm the member of XYZ church. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, I had catechism or communion when I was 14, and I received a Bible from the church. The Bible says in Romans 4:5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted, credited for righteousness. See, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible, well, let's look at it. You're in Romans. I don't mind having you look at it. I'm not afraid for you to see it for yourself. Look at it now. Even the righteousness of God. Now, that's pretty good righteousness, isn't it? Because that's his. How righteous is your God? He either is holy or he isn't God. Is he holy? Isaiah in Isaiah 6, says, I see the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And there were three seraphim shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 6. Is your God holy? He either is or he isn't. So if he's holy, it says that the righteousness of God, which is by faith, we receive it by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. It's open to everyone and upon all them that believe. Imagine, I want you to just imagine for a minute that today you stepped to the very gate of heaven and someone asks you, why should I let you in? Whatever just popped in your mind right now is what it is you're hoping is going to put you there. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Brothers and sisters, do you understand? It matters what you believe. I'm not the one who wrote John 14, 6 that said he was the only way. Jesus did that. I'm not the one who said that your sins had to be covered. Actually, it'd be much more popular for me to say if you just think good thoughts and don't be negative and be sweet and play nice, you'll make it. I could sell books and tapes and fill auditoriums. But it's Jesus is the only way. So when somebody asks you, if your children came to you and said, Mommy, how do I get to heaven when I die? What are you going to say? If your kid hasn't asked that yet, hang on. They will. What are you going to say? Well, you just go to church and you be a sweet person. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Well, if you just try real hard. That's not what the Bible says. See, it wouldn't be fair. You know people who are physically handicapped. It wouldn't be fair if it was about works. It's fair because it's about belief. To a person who realizes they're a sinner and turns to God and says, I'm sorry, I believe Jesus' blood was shed for me. Forgive me. I believe. Save me. That's it. What did Paul say to the Philippian jailer when he said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What did he say to Cornelius, the centurion, the Roman soldier? He said that God is no respecter of persons. I don't believe God just loves the Jews. And he believed and he was saved. You know, the problem is not how much evidence. I ask people, how much evidence would it take to convince you that Jesus is the only way? What evidence would it take? What you're going to find is there's more evidence that Jesus lived and died and rose again than there is that I can. Have you ever Googled yourself? I mean, seriously, if your existence relied upon Google knowing you, would you exist? It's like Schrodinger's cat. You know, you put the cat in a box and you can leave it there for 30 days, not feed it, not give it water. It isn't really dead until you open it. No, you're not really alive until Google says you are. Is that how you feel? Do you realize that there's only one Jesus? Do you realize I'm not the only Pastor John H. Mix in this country? That blew me away. I am not the only Pastor John H. Mix. Now, he's not as good looking or better good a preacher as I am, but he's still a pastor. That you ought to look yourself up on Google just to see. So which Jesus is it you're putting your faith and trust in? The great teacher, the the great healer, or the sacrificial lamb who died for you? Jesus is more than what I've made him out to be today. And people will say to you, well, I don't believe that a loving God would send somebody to hell. Have you ever been asked that question? You ever heard that? How do you respond? Well, take your Bible, go to the back of the book. Before the book of the Revelation and after Hebrews, you'll find number 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Number 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ, that's Jesus Christ of Nazareth, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The just, he's the just, for the unjust, that's us. That he, that's Jesus, might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. Jesus was literally killed. He was really, really dead. Look what it says here. It says, but quickened by the Spirit. He died in my place. You're there in 1 Peter 3. Go back a page to 1 Peter 2 and look at verse 24. Who his own self, that's Jesus, bare our sins. Not his sins, because he didn't have any. He took our sins in his own body on the tree. That's the cross. That we, being dead to sin, separated from our sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Take your Bible, go to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, and I'm almost done. Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. The Bible reads, for when we were without strength, we had no abilities, we couldn't do anything about our condition, in due time, Christ died for the pretty people who were really sweet. Is that what your Bible says? He died for the great humpback whale and the brown spotted owl that are on the endangered species list. Is that what Jesus came for? I believe we ought to be good stewards of God's earth, but I'm saying he didn't come for the endangered species. Christ died for the ungodly. Now, do you have a problem putting yourself in that category? If you're not sure if you're a sinner, ask the person sitting on either side of you, and they'll fix that. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Even today, it's tough to get people to donate a kidney. Because you can still live with one. But it's tough to get people to lie. I mean, people donate blood, praise the Lord. But even peradventure for a good man, you might jump on a grenade. For peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God, in contrast to our kind of love and our kind of value system, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, God has done everything necessary for every human being that's ever been conceived and ever will be conceived to go to heaven. It costs you and I nothing. It's free. It's a gift. It's something you don't work for. But Jesus came and took our place, took our sin upon ourselves, on himself, excuse me, and paid the penalty. And now God, it says in 2 Peter 3:9, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has chosen you, and he said, here you go. Now at that moment, the choice is yours. When have you made that choice? It's called the new birth, John chapter 3, verse 5, 7, and 9. Or 3, 5, and 7, excuse me. It's like childbirth. You may have been in labor, but there was a moment when that little rascal was inside and then a moment when the little rascal was out. And that was his birthday or her birthday. There was a time when you were lost. And then you were born again. Do you remember when that happened? When did it happen for you? You see, the greatest tool you have besides the filling of the Holy Spirit and prayer is your personal testimony of when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. So when did it happen? When did you go from believing, well, everybody's basically good and all religions basically take us to heaven to Jesus is the only way? and you turned from your sin and you called upon him and asked him to forgive you and save you because you believed he died for you. When did that happen? How did that happen? Where were you when it happened? You need to know this. Now, you may not remember the date or the hour, but you ought to be able to remember, I was in such and such a place, and I remember it was, this happened, and I came to, because it's not a feeling you feel, it's a decision you make. It's a submission to God by turning to him. It's a one time, when did that happen? Which Jesus are you believing in? Which one has captured your soul? See, my Jesus, look what he said in John 5. Go back to our text and we're done. John 5. You know, the problem is not the amount of evidence that he's the Messiah. The problem is the human heart. Look at John 5 and verse 40. And Jesus is speaking to these people who know the Bible, who copy the Bible, who produce the Bible and send it to other people and teach it every Saturday in their synagogues. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. He's talking about the Antichrist. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another? When you're so busy worrying about what other people think of you, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Don't worry. I'm not going to go to heaven and tattle on you. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. You know that guy who wrote those five books that you copy over and over and over again and teach every Saturday? That guy's going to stand up and go, you didn't know God. That's what he's going to say. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you will not believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Look, either God is or he isn't. Either God introduced himself to mankind and gave us his word, or he didn't. Either he has promised to save you who believe, or none of it's true. There is no middle ground. So what is it? Which one is it for you? Dr. S.M. Lockridge put it this way. He said, do you know my Jesus? He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness and the King of heaven. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is the only one whom there's no means to measure or to define his limitless love, and no telescope can see the coastline or shoreline of his ability to supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessings upon you except your own heart if it refuses to believe. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Which Jesus is your Jesus? Have you created a different version? One that does your Jesus the one of the Bible or the one of your own making? Well, if that's true, Pastor Mix, well, then my parents were probably in hell. You don't know that. You don't know what they believe. Well, I know how they lived. Fine, but you don't know what they believed. Number two, what about you? Your parents were offered the same choice you're being offered. Your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your ancestors were all offered the same choice that God is offering you today. It's not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy. For it's by grace, you getting something you didn't earn, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift. Our Father and our God, in the next few moments, you've proven yourself to be true. You've proven yourself through your word, through your son, through his preaching, through his miracles. You've proven yourself, God, to us by his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. You've proven yourself to us through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, today, if there's someone among us that has never put their faith and trust solely upon you through Christ, I pray you'd convict them of their sin and convince them of their need of a Savior. And for us, your children who are saved, let us recommit ourselves to be able to tell others why we believe and what it is we actually do believe that made the difference in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix plays and sings, the altar's open. Maybe you'd like somebody to pray with you. I'd be happy to. Not that my prayers are any more effective than yours, but the Bible says where two or more are gathered together, there I am in the midst. And where two of you bind something on earth, it'll be bound in heaven. So come, and whether it's finances or relationships, let's come. Let me pray with you. If it's health, direction, or if today, if you died, you're not sure heaven's your home, let's settle it today and be sure.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all.
When did Jesus become real to you?
All to him I owe.
If you died today, would your kids know you're going to be in heaven?
Left a crimson stain.
Have you told your children your story? It needs to start at home. Don't let them worry or wonder if mom or dad is born again. Sit them down and just share with them. I know I'm going to heaven because at this time I was here or there and I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit and I called upon God. And I ask him to forgive me and be my Savior. I believe. I gave my heart to the Lord that day. And I know I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. His blood. It's not complicated. But the world around us is lost. They don't know him. It's up to us to tell.
Had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Our Father and our God, we love you.
Sin had left
Thank you.
A crimson stain. He
Thank you for sending your Son to die for us. And Father, we believe the Bible's true because it proves itself. And we believe in you because you've proven yourself. And today, God, as we leave this place, let us leave with the knowledge and assurance that heaven is our home because of Jesus. Let us tell others who don't know. For many have never been in a church service. Many have never been presented with the truth. Let us be your message bearer to others. And God, if you'd have us to join this church, I pray, God, you'd touch the hearts of those you'd have join. And for those that are looking for a place to serve, God, may they step forward and put their hand to the plow with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Frank.